Master scheduling objectives, process, and variants. Here we address the purpose and objectives of master scheduling and the inputs, process, and outputs of master scheduling. We also address how master scheduling needs to differ by manufacturing environment. Purpose and objectives of master scheduling. The ultimate measure of successful master scheduling is its contribution to the organizational goals of higher customer service levels, quicker response, lower inventories, reduced costs, enhanced control, and superior financial performance. Master scheduling by itself cannot accomplish these results. However, it is an important contributor. So the fundamental measure of the success of master scheduling is how many of these improvements the organization realizes. Let's start with the end in mind and see what master scheduling needs to accomplish to be considered successful. Aligns production with demand by adhering to the agreed-upon S&OP production plan and its priorities. Create a build schedule for specific products, end items, quantities, and due dates. Ensures feasibility. Resolve trade-offs between sales and operations. Maintains customer service at the targeted level by meeting delivery deadlines and customer service targets. Keeps inventories and/or backlogs at the desired levels. Enables valid order promises in part by managing due dates for end item availability. Minimizes costs. Maintains flexibility. For example, master scheduling is the basis for trade-offs when not all orders can be fulfilled. Improves communication. An objective of master scheduling is to make the master production schedule, MPS, into a contract between the demand side of the organization, sales and marketing, and the supply side, purchasing and manufacturing. The MPS is a priority plan for manufacturing to use. It will show the impact of proposed changes on those priorities. However, the master schedule and the MPS are not meant to be unchangeable. Rather, these are communication tools that provide baselines against which any proposed changes can be evaluated. In this way, the master schedule and the MPS represent both the needs of the market and manufacturing capacity. Master scheduling is primarily a decision-making process performed by the master scheduler. The primary responsibility of the master scheduler is to align aggregate level demand and supply with that at the detail 1009 level. While the major purpose of S&OP is to make sure that capacity and resources, materials, persons, machinery, capacity, storage space, time, money, and so on, are available in advance of when they are needed for the actual production of the end product, the major purpose of master scheduling is disaggregating product demand to the product 1009 or end item level in weekly or even daily or hourly time intervals. The output of this process is the master production schedule. The objectives of maintaining customer service, making efficient and effective use of resources, and keeping inventories or backlogs at desired levels all reinforce this contract between the demand and supply sides of the organization. Master scheduling impacts customer service by producing to priorities, as measured by maintaining backlogs or inventories at desired levels and meeting promised due dates. Efficient and effective use of resources is the supply side of this contract between sales and manufacturing. This best use of resources includes not only ensuring that capacity is available, but also that the resources are used as fully as intended. Since inventory is a major investment, maintaining inventories at the desired levels can directly impact organizational profit levels. Master scheduling inputs, process, and outputs. Exhibit 4-42 shows the inputs, process, and outputs of master scheduling from a manufacturing planning and control perspective. Exhibit 4-42. Inputs and outputs of master scheduling. As you can see, the inputs are the result of tactical level decisions within the organization, which were in turn based on strategic decisions, and the outputs are at the level of tactical execution. Note that staffing levels are not a direct output, but the load represented by the MPS can be used to determine staffing requirements, inputs. Inputs to master scheduling include detailed item level forecasts that forecast at the SKU level and are for shorter time horizons. They provide information on the sales 1009 produced within the total volume constraints set by another key input, the S&OP production plan. Another input are the actual orders from customers or supply chain partners, such as distribution centers or other sources of independent demand. Thus, the master schedule is the primary point of contact between the market, in the form of orders, and the production facility. Actual orders will displace forecasts for the most immediate periods. Some additional inputs to master scheduling include capacity constraints from rough cut capacity planning, lot sizes, minimum production quantities for the item, opening inventory or backlog data from production and inventory databases, and desired ending inventories or ending backlogs from the S&OP production plan process. The master scheduling process performs two types of disaggregation. The first type is disaggregating from product families to items, or options or raw materials. Since different product families or different products may share some of these end items or other materials, these sources of demand need to be combined so total demand for that end item can be planned together. Another important type of disaggregation is to break larger time buckets into smaller ones, typically moving from months to weeks. Thus, the S&OP production plan that provides aggregate volume for the given product family is transformed into discrete items to be produced as an output. Moreover, the process of producing a master production schedule transforms a general plan into a priority plan because it assigns due dates for specific quantities of end items to be manufactured. These due dates and quantities are directly used in rough cut capacity planning to evaluate the availability of critical materials, labor, and bottleneck work centers. The quantities of individual items in the master production schedule must be equal to the aggregate quantities from the production plan. Schedules generated by master scheduling serve as inputs to other manufacturing planning and control functions, such as material requirements planning, distribution requirements planning, and rough cut capacity planning. Outputs. The MPS is a key output of master scheduling, and it becomes a direct input to material requirements planning, MRP. The MRP system will use this input, along with other inputs such as inventory records and bills of material, to calculate the components needed for purchase or manufacture, thus bringing the priority plan in terms of due dates and quantities down to the component level. Master scheduling and manufacturing environment. A primary purpose of master scheduling is to disaggregate, or split up, the S&OP production plan from product families into individual end items. These end items often differ by manufacturing environment. Make and engineer to order may plan raw materials. Assemble to order will plan components, modules, or options. Work in process. Make to stock with standardized product offerings will plan finished goods. There may be differences in what an organization defines as end items for master scheduling, depending on the amount of input customers have on design. For example, less standardized products, or if the organization uses hybrids or subtypes, such as package to order or postponement. Exhibit 4-43 details the differences in master scheduling approaches based on manufacturing environment and identified customer requirements. Exhibit 4-43, master scheduling approach differences by environment. In MTS and some MTO environments, the master production schedule shows when specific quantities of end items will be available. The precision of the MPS is impacted by the accuracy of lead time, yield estimates, and the bill of material. In ITO environments, the MPS consists of components and subassemblies. With ITO, the organization may use planning bills instead of MPS-specific products. Once customer orders are received, these are configured into end items using a final assembly schedule, FIS,